Our first lesson this morning is from Psalm 19. This is the psalm out of the common lectionary for today, which Christians are reading all around the world. And so we will hear from Psalm 19. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims His handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In the heavens He has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom from his wedding canopy, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and nothing is hid from its heat. The gospel lesson is also from the lectionary, reading from the fourth chapter of the gospel according to St. Luke. And it gives an account of the beginning of Jesus' Galilean ministry. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about Him spread throughout all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When He came to Nazareth, where He had been brought up, He went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was His custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to Him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And He rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on Him. Then He began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Amen. May God bless to our hearing and to our understanding these readings from God's holy word. Tomorrow, January the 25th, is a special day for people in Scotland and people of Scottish heritage all around the world. How many here this morning have a bit of Scottish heritage in them? How many? Oh, quite a few. Very good. Some of you may have it and not even know it. This day, January 25th, is a very important day to Scottish people because it is a day in which they pay tribute to the immortal memory of Robert Burns, whom they look upon as being the greatest poet of Scotland, and indeed there are those who say he was the greatest poet of all time. Now, I think it's rather interesting that not only is he the poet laureate of Scotland and of Scottish people, but in Russia, he is known as the people's poet. They have so designated him because the poor people in Russia, particularly the farming people, identified with his poetry because Burns spoke so much to the poor and needy in the world. And so they, as a nation, designated him as the people's poet. And actually in 1955, there was a stamp that they put out with Burns's photo on it. But that's not the only thing. The other thing is that on November the 30th, in Scotland, they observe St. Andrew's Day, one of the disciples of Jesus, the patron saint of Scotland. But he is also the patron saint of Russia. So I thought it was rather interesting, and it was interesting at the conclusion of the first service this morning, a man came out and he said, "You know, you're not going to believe this." But he said, "My birthday is tomorrow, January 25th, and my sister's birthday is on November the 30th. Well, that was quite remarkable. Well, anyway, why are we thinking about Robert Burns here in church? Was he not a rascal and a rogue? Did he not drink too much and love the lassies too much? Well, he did write many beautiful poems, many beautiful love poems, such as, "My love is like a red, red rose that's newly sprung in June. My love is like a melody that's sweetly played in tune. How fair thou art, my bonny lass, and how deep in love am I. And I will love thee still, my dear, till all the seas gang dry." And then his poem that he wrote to, I think it was Clorinda, and in it he said, "Had we never loved so kindly, had we never loved so blindly, never met or never parted, we would ne'er be broken hearted." Well, as someone has said, someone who could write such poetry as that couldn't be all that bad. And indeed, he wasn't. In the gospel lesson this morning from St. Luke, we heard of how Jesus went to the synagogue as his custom was, and there he read a passage from the book of Isaiah, which said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit has anointed me to bring good news to the poor." And wasn't that what was the basic message of Jesus, his concern for the poor and the lowly and the oppressed and the disheartened? He spoke so often about reaching out to one another and caring for one another and loving one another. And that indeed was what Robert Burns' poetry was all about. He grew up in desperate poverty. He lived on a farm most of his life, and he knew struggle and hardship. He knew poverty. And because he did, he had a great understanding and a great sympathy for and a love for the common folk, for the poor people of his land. And he wrote much of his poetry to give them hope and inspiration. Indeed, he didn't have too much good to say for the higher levels of society, because he felt, just as Jesus felt, that they were often putting down the poorer side of society. Jesus didn't have too much good to say about the Pharisees of his day. He more than once said to them, "You hypocrites, you," because they professed one thing and yet did another. They thought they were better than others. And Burns had experience of various times when he noted the gentry of his day putting down the lowly folk. Various times he was called upon to speak at great gatherings of the richer folk, and he would go and he would quote to them for hours many of his beautiful poems. And they would all clap their hands and then send him off to the kitchen while they ate their banquets. In one of his poems, To a Louse, he has a message to the high and mighty of his day. And in that poem, he gives a setting where the people are all gathering in the church. And there's this one woman who comes in with her fair bonnet on, and she's coming down the aisle. And in the church of his day, Burns was upset that there was what they call preferential seating. And she came right up to the front and sat down in the front pew with her head held high. And all of a sudden, the back underneath her bonnet, this little louse appears. And everybody can see it, except for her. And Burns called it a crawling furly. He said, "What are you doing there, you crawling furly? You're out of place. You know, you should be somewhere else on somebody else's head, sicking your dinner." And he goes on to say, "Wad the power, the gift he gie us, to see ourselves as others see us. 'Twas save us from many notions, many blunders that are foolish and foolish notions." Well, we might think of that poem in relationship to our own lives, you know, that we might be freed from foolish notions and such foolish blunders that we sometimes make, that we may think of ourselves more highly than we ought to, that we put down others when we should be able to see in the life of Jesus that we are all one in the Spirit, one in the Lord, and there is no difference between any one of us. We are all loved and cared for by the Lord. In that gospel lesson, it speaks about Jesus releasing those who were in captivity. And there is many forms of captivity. But what Jesus was doing was not so much seeking to release people from something, but he was releasing them for something. And I remember a professor in our college years ago saying, you know, salvation is not so much from what you are saved from, but what you are saved for. And to become a captive of the Lord is to be, in a sense, set free. Seems like a paradox. We are captured so that we are free. We are captured so that we might be His, so that we then might become fully ourselves. Free to be me, free to be you. And that's what it is to be in Christ. And that's the message that Robert Burns was seeking to give to, that we are to be as kin to one another, that we are to be in fellowship with one another. In the December issue of the Reader's Digest, there's two wonderful little articles on being kind, and it said that there's no life so frantic that we can't show kindness to one another. Robert Burns talked about taking a cup of kindness yet. Think of ways in which you can be kind, not just in giving an offering for Haiti, as important as that might be. For many of us, it's probably a one-time thing. But day by day and moment by moment, we are called forth to show kindness in words and in thoughts, in actions towards one another. I'm sure if you stop and think, various things come to mind in which you will be able to give expression to kindness and thoughtfulness. Another one of Robert Burns' great poems was Tam O' Shanter. And Tom is out with the boys this night. They're off to the pub. And he has tipped back a few too many. And he stays longer than he should. And all the while in the poem, Burns is giving the picture of his wife waiting home for him. And she's getting more angry by the moment that he hasn't gotten home yet. And she's sitting there in her rocking chair, rocking back and forth, gathering her eyebrows like a gathering storm, nursing her wrath to keep it warm. Well, we know that she's going to give him a piece of her mind when he gets home. And maybe he deserved it, but maybe she wasn't being just as kind as she could have been. And maybe we too, at various times, are not as kind or thoughtful as we could be in what we say or how we treat one another, and often the ones who are closest and dearest to us. In that Psalm 19, which was one of the two psalms that Robert Burns paraphrased in his poems. Only two. And the first one we used as the call to worship, part of it. And the second one is this 19th psalm, which I think is quite a coincidence that it is the psalm reading in the lectionary for today. Well, Robert Burns had a great respect for God. Someone said one time that religion didn't help him all that much, but it haunted him. And he did again and again feel great regret for the sins which he committed. And he stood often in the presence of the Almighty. And in this psalm, I think it gives expression to what he really felt. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows its handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech. And then he goes on to say that the speech is not heard. And in a sense, it's referring to a silence. And you know, as you stand before God, you are led to feel a silence, that you want to be still and to know God. And Burns was wanting to give that message too, I believe, because we all need to get that sense that there is one there who is able to touch our hearts and to caress our souls, to bring a healing to our hurting hearts and our heavy souls. The heavens declare the glory of God. We are called in Jesus Christ to walk in that way, one with another, in fellowship and in communion with one another, in the spirit of kinship, or as Burns called it, a brotherhood. The brethren, he referred to the brethren over and over again, that we brothers may be, he said. And he wrote that beautiful poem, "Should Old Acquaintance Be Forgot." How does it go? "Should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Should old acquaintance be forgot in days of auld lang syne? So here's a hand, my trusty friend, and gie a hand of thine, and we shall take a cup of kindness yet in days of auld lang syne." So may we strive day by day to be more in kinship one with another for days of auld lang syne.